now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Today, among other things, I will talk about the Richard Coudenhove Kalergi plan to basically eradicate the white races of Europe and basically the white races everywhere through a mass influx of, in this case, Muslims from North Africa, Africans, Pakistanis, so on and so forth. The plan is named after Richard Coudenhove Kalergi. His father was an Austrian diplomat, and his mother was a Japanese. And he founded the Pan-European Movement in Vienna in 1922, actually a precursor to the League of Nations. And he was supported and funded by Rothschild-type bankers, because his idea was to bring about an amalgamation of the races with the tribalist collectivists at the top of the heap. The intention was that all the white races would eventually be bred out by a mass influx of dark-skinned peoples, and by so doing, destroy the national sovereignty, the cultural identity of all these white peoples, bring in these foreign elements en masse, and have these foreigners with their social beliefs, cultural mores, ethics, etc., eventually supplant the white races. And so what's happening is the white race, if the plan continues and reaches fruition, will go the way of a lot of these indigenous, ironically brown-skinned, dark-skinned peoples around the world, which were subjugated and annihilated through the expansion of, once again, the tribalist collectivists in the form of all these crown corporations, be it the East India Trading Company, the Hudson Bay Trading Company, the South African Company, etc., etc., and whether the means to exploit and spread this influence and power was through mercantilism, through the financing and the spreading of railroads through North America and through South Africa, etc., etc. The result in the past has always been the annihilation and subjugation of dark-skinned races and the exploitation of mineral resources and the eradication of a lot of the mystical, metaphysical, esoterical traditions which were central to the life and culture of many of these indigenous cultures, which have been eradicated. 120 million, conservatively estimated, 120 million native North Americans annihilated. Well, now, as we've seen so often in the past, the tables have been turned, and now it's the white peoples of the world, the Caucasians of the world, who will be eliminated. And unless something is done to stop this process, that's something that might very well transpire. And this is being done through what is known as the Kalergi Plan, named after this Richard Coudenhove Kalergi. Now, the reason that I'm bringing this subject up now was the other day, and I will go into the, as usual, the higher dimensional and nether dimensional aspects of this. It's not just simply a surface level thing. There is a dark, dark agenda at work that is essentially non-human in origin. But anyway, why I was inspired to talk about this subject was, and to talk about it from a higher dimensional perspective, you know, above the surface level, is because the other day I came across a news story on yahoo.com.au, which is the Australian version of yahoo.com. Yahoo.com originated in Silicon Valley, my old stomping grounds. And in a nutshell, the story, which I have since been unable to find again, was that this young girl from a Sharia family in Sydney, Australia, reached out to the authorities and said, "My family is trying to force me into marrying a much older man, and I don't want to do it." It was yet another example of these forced child marriages. And the gist of the news story was, well, you know, the so-called authorities that were interviewed in the story, they said, well, you know, we referred her case to New South Wales state government and the federal government, the Australian federal government, basically washing their hands of this girl and the plight she was in. Well, maybe they referred the story to, or referred the young girl's case to the New South Wales state government authorities and or the federal authorities of Australia. Maybe they reported it, maybe they didn't. Because due to this, and it all works in synchronistic fashion. On the one hand, we have the multicultural diversity, everything is racism, and we have to respect the belief systems and the cultural mores, ethics of all these different people, all these foreigners that are flooding all these different countries. Because to do otherwise is to be racist, isn't it? Right? And here is an example where an underage girl is being forced to marry a much older man, pedophilia by any other name, but the authorities, if you want to call them that, basically wash their hands of it, saying, oh, we, you know, referred the case to the state and federal government. I assume this was the local authorities in Sydney. You know, basically not our problem, right? So what we see here is yet another example of how pedophilia is being normalized. And also, you know, note the practically dismissive way that it's reported by the corporate media. Oh, well, you know, this little girl, she doesn't want to be raped by this older man in this forced Sharia marriage. But the authorities did what they were supposed to. They bumped up the story to the state and federal authorities and move on, nothing to see here. The same way, I might add, that the media in the United Kingdom refuses to cover the Sharia, the Pakistani rape gangs that are going around kidnapping young white girls off the street, torturing them, brutalizing them, murdering them, raping them, gang raping them. And the reason why social services, the reason why the authorities there don't want to, so they say, make an issue out of it, because of the sensitive race issues involved. Oh, we don't want to, you know, point out that it's a particular racial demographic, a particular religious creed that's behind all this. And so what's happened is the tribalist collectivists, through their control of the media, just ensures that all this stuff is tamped down, that nothing is made out of it, no issue, nothing to see here, move on. Little girl in Sydney, Australia, doesn't want to be married to an old pedo, nothing to see here, move on. Rape gangs running amok in the UK, running amok in Scandinavia, all over, you know, formerly white Europe. Nothing to see here, move on. And this is all part and parcel of the Kalergi plan, which I alluded to a moment before. And also notice how this whole rape, immigration, rape-vasion, immigration, immigration, it's been called by many different names, how it works in parallel with the powers that be wanting to normalize pedophilia. We've already had all these sewer scum academics all over the place saying that, oh, you know, adults liking children in a sexual way, that's like normal. It's a behavior. It's no big deal, right? We've seen this from the academics in the UK, and we've seen this promoted by academics, by the social engineers in America and elsewhere, along with all the gender identification, misidentification, the creation of all these different genders, when on any normal planet there would only be two genders if, you know, the life forms there were neatly divided into male and female. Now, likewise, on any normal planet, if academics got together and said, oh, pedophilia is normal, don't even call it that, it's just perfectly normal for adults to, like, sexually assault young children. On any normal planet, those people that said that, if, you know, and I loosely describe them as people, on any normal planet, they would be hunted down and destroyed on the spot, right? But not on this one, because of the control exerted by the forces of evil and the forces of darkness. So the two are hand in hand. The Kalergi plan to essentially eradicate the white Caucasians and replace them with darker skinned peoples who believe that rape, gang assault, child rape is normal. There was a guy, I forget, he was a Pakistani, I forget where he was from. It was a public swimming pool. I can't remember where it was. I think it was in Germany, somewhere in Europe. He sexually assaulted a young girl in a public swimming pool. And then when he was asked by authorities afterwards why he did it, he said that he thought she was a prostitute, a young girl there in a swimming pool. And it shows his absolute lack of self-control, right? He can't even, I mean, like you would think that a predator would have some sense of self-preservation instead of hauling her off somewhere or waiting till he can ambush her somewhere a little private, right? He attacks her. I don't know why I'm laughing. He attacks her in full public view of a number of people because he completely lacks impulse control because the guy is thoroughly infested with entities. He thought the little girl was a prostitute, right? That was his excuse because his entity-infested mind and the entity-infested religion he comes from taught him that, right? Well, what if someone was to come along and say, well, I think you, Mr. Perp, are an evil entity-infested sewer scum, and I'm just going to, like, beat the shit out of you, pardon my Anunnaki, right? That's my belief system. So we're looking at this from a higher dimensional perspective of literally a demonic invasion. We talked in this show in the recent past about how what we see around us is the fourth dimension. What we're experiencing and seeing and how all this is playing out, this agenda of control, is the fourth dimension manifesting itself in the physical reality. Boy, howdy. It's not just that the Earth is a prison planet. That's kind of a simplified way of looking at things. It's that these dark nether powers, the demiurge, call it what you will, that's what the Gnostics call this evil force. Some of the Native Americans refer to it as the Wetiko, this evil spirit that animates people and things, right? It's not just that the Earth is a prison planet and a lot of the people that were born here or crash-landed here, whatever the case may be, they're caught up in this endless cycle of reincarnation in order to provide the louche, the sustenance, through their shared misery and miasma of suffering and persecution and oppression and guilt and rage and everything else. Not only is that going on, that dynamic, real, it is a prison planet from that standpoint, and it's a penal colony from that standpoint, but it's even worse than that. What they've done is the powers that be, this demiurge, this dark force, increasingly dark AI force, has done is brought in the scum of the multiverse. All these different evil forces and beings from throughout time and throughout the dimensions and throughout the multiverse, they brought so many of them here to Earth so they can take part in this endless state of reincarnation, recyclement as well. And they keep winding up these evil sewer scum in positions of power and authority. That's how it works. So, I mean, think of what the French did all those years where they would have what they consider to be their worst, most evil, vicious criminals exiled to a penal colony, what's it called? Back in the day, called Devil's Island, I think. If you watch the movie with Steve McQueen and Dustin Hoffman, Papillon, that's it. He was this French criminal with a butterfly tattoo on his body, and so they call him Papillon. And, you know, his whole life's mission was to escape off that island, right? And so what France did was it put the scum of their country and onto this little island located on the North Atlantic coast of South America in the Guianas. Well, what this demiurge has done is brought the scum of the multiverse onto this planet and made them the warders, made them the jailers. You see how that works? And the rest of us, we've kind of been like mixed in with the inmate population, all right? And sometimes I like to think that, similar to that TV show, I think is called Prison Break or something like that. I couldn't even finish the first season because it dragged on so long. But anyway, the idea was that this guy, spoiler alert, would get himself busted and then wind up in a federal pen so he can bust his brother out, right? And sometimes I wonder, and I really think there's something to this, that some of us have voluntarily come here to basically shatter this paradigm, shatter this matrix. I absolutely believe that, and I believe some of you listening feel the same way. So we've been thrown in here, mixed in with the general inmate population, and the psychopaths, scum of the universe, from these nether regions of all these different lower dimensions, and, you know, the scum of the earth of the cosmos and the multiverse, they've been put in charge of this penal colony. It's not some school where you come here to learn how to feel and give and receive love. You don't need to go to any particular planet to learn that. Some new age la-di-da came up with that one. Oh, you've come to Earth to learn how to love. It's not so much a school. It's not even a reform school. It's, like I said, it's a penal colony is what it is. And we're here to cause a mass prison break. Now, the psychopaths, they can stay here or stay in a lower version of the Earth, right? But you know what? We can lead a jailbreak out of this paradigm for those so inclined that want to move on and want to continue the spiritual journey and not be forced to be inmates to the Saturn, Moon, Earth matrix. There is an ancient Talmudic Babylonian aspect to this whole Kalergi plan to bring these raping immigrants into all these Caucasian countries and turn them loose and have them bash people and rape people. And you should see some of the video from Europe of hordes and hordes of Africans, hordes and hordes of Muslims and Pakis just being turned loose on the streets, and they're just running amok, right? There's a supernatural element to this, folks, because so many of those freaks running rampant, running amok like that, are entity infested, right? And again, this whole plan has its roots in, well, beyond ancient Babylon, beyond, you know, the Talmudic ultra-supremacist, ultra-racist hate and death creed. It goes clearly beyond that to outer space and, you know, into other dimensions and beyond. What we're seeing is just the latest manifestations, okay? Like, you know, the Frankfurt School of cultural Marxism, destroy the family, encourage perversity and degradation and scummery, basically, scumbaggery, as Vinnie Eastwood would say, into society. I mean, that whole mindset, this concept of destroying the family, is so anti-human tip there that it had to have originated somewhere else, right? So we see on the one hand, pedophilia being encouraged by quackademics. You have all these freaks in the cultural Marxist-controlled schools and encouraging perversity and pedophilia and all this other stuff. And on the other hand, you have this rape invasion, which is being facilitated by the powers that be. A number of corporations are receiving buku bucks, millions and millions and millions of dollars to transport all these raping migrants, raping immigrants, into the European countries. When a country says, no mas, no way, no how, this is where we get off the bus, like Hungary, for example, refusing to take on more refugees, well, then the European Union comes down on them or tries to, like a ton of bricks, right? There were just the most laughable, just to digress for a second, most laughable headline I saw on InfoWars today. And it was something about how Israel is calling out George Soros for, doing his darndest to undermine other countries. It's like the pot calling the kettle black, you know. It's like, you know, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry at that headline. But anyway, you have this dynamic at work, and now they're bringing in the rape culture openly and turning a blind eye to it officially. We've already seen how they shift pedo Catholic priests from one parish in one city to another. Now this. And pedophilia is being encouraged, and millions and millions and millions of these rapists are bringing in per the Kalergi plan, because they want to bring in this rape culture, they want to bring in this fragmentation, dissolution, and eradication, ultimately, of the white Caucasian races by breeding them out, basically, by killing them and by murdering them, starving them, and breeding them out. And it's important to understand that the rape culture also not just targets women, but particularly young girls and children in general, because so many of these pedos, they target young boys too. Look who the good guy allies in Afghanistan are, the Afghan National Police, made up of a bunch of pedos. They go to the different villages and, you know, kidnap young boys and pass them around as playthings and sodomize them. That's who are, you know, made the good guys all over the world, is precisely these pedo networks. The Kosovo Liberation Army, right? And when you hear Russian mafia, that's just another euphemism. When you hear the term Russian mafia, that's, think tribalist collectivist mafia, right? The Kosher Nostra, that's who you should be thinking about. That's who they really are. You know, they just use the name Russian mafia in the media to make everyone hate on the Russians again, when, you know, these are tribalist collectivists in league with the Rothschild Zionist bankers and all the rest of them, right? And the Russian mafia, so-called, they're like worldwide leaders in human trafficking. And they deliberately target children because children have a high spiritual content. It must be understood that so many of these children have just come from a higher dimension. And before they're manipulated and fed all this dogma and brainwashed and their self-worth shattered, etc., etc., they come in with a sensibility and a spiritual energy and a frequency of a much higher nature. And so when these sewer scum perps, these Rep and Draco hybrid and hybrids and perps of all stripes, when they harm these little children, they're essentially stealing their energy from them. And is it any surprise that all these raping immigrants just deliberately seem to target children, young girls, young boys? Because the entity is working through all these raping immigrants. Ditto the, you know, organized human trafficking going on by some of the aforementioned groups and others I didn't mention. The entities working through them, the Wetico, the demiurge, if you will, working through them, wants to feed off the energy, spiritual energy quotient of children. It's an energy exchange. And they benefit, certainly the children don't. The children wind up getting dissociated, life shattered. They're seen as a resource by these perps, by these sewer scum, because the consciousness, if you want to call it that, the energies and the intelligences working through them are predatory, parasitical, and exploitative in nature. So they see this planet and all of its people and beings and children especially as a resource for them. We must keep this point in mind, that there's a spiritual dynamic, spiritual component to all these raping immigrants running around doing what they're doing. And like I said, a handful of corporations are making buku bucks bringing them over. Now, they're given cell phones, right? I mean, right off the bat, they're allowed to establish communications networks. Everyone's given cell phones. Everyone's, like, moved in the small, medium-sized, even large towns and cities. And you really have to look at some of these videos, watch them running amok through some of these European communities. It's a freak show. So in order to get an idea of what might happen if this process continues, and man, will there be a lower vibrational energy being emitted if that happens, all we need to do is look at what's happened in places like South Africa, where, you know, the white people there, what's left of them, have been under siege for some time now. You know, white women being gang raped and murdered, and you know, the white people out there in deserted, isolated farmsteads, they're just set upon by groups of blacks that are intent on murdering and raping them. Very clever. I mean, I give credit where credit's due, right? Not saying it's a good thing, but if one were truly evil and wanted to take over a planet, I guess there's, you know, certain ways of going about doing it. But the way the tribalist collectivists have utilized first the British Crown via their various trading companies, again, corporations, folks, East India Trading Company, Virginia Trading Company, South African Trading Company, etc. You know, you always hear the history books talking about, oh, the Royal Navy going around, the sun never sets on English soil. But really, it's the Royal Navy, the Marines, and the British Army. And then, over time, incorporating these native fighters who just wouldn't knuckle under, and incorporating them as allies, like the Gurkhas and you know, the Nagas and others that were renowned for their fierceness. That's what the tribalist collectivists used to spread their influence. It seemed like it was the British Empire, but it wasn't, because the royal family really are just tribalist collectivists. Not many people realize that. They're part of the tribe. And what they've done by going around all over the world, using the British Empire, then later using the American war machine to basically decimate all these places, Southeast Asia, Korea, the subcontinent, creating divide and conquer between the Indians and the Pakistanis, what became Pakistan, etc., etc., it engendered this hostility in the minds, understandably, of all these colored peoples all over the world for what they thought was, quote, the evil white man, really. But who was ultimately financing it? Who was behind it? Who was pulling all the strings? Who created the glorious revolution in England? Who hired out their ruffian goon, Oliver Cromwell, to, you know, eventually bring about the control of the UK, what became the UK? It was, you know, the tribe, basically. And so now, and go back and listen to the interview I did with Freeman Fly, excellent interview on this show, where he talks about the whole idea behind 9/11 was to make people ultimately angry at the U.S. government, right? When they figured out what was going on or had an idea what was going on. But in a larger scale, global scale, scheme of things, over time, this incessant destabilization, disruption, invasions, economic manipulation via the IMF, etc., has engendered a lot of animosity in the so-called third world. And now they're bringing in people from the third world, precisely from those countries where there has always been a rape culture or a rape creed, because of the entity infestation in those places and all the the incessant indoctrination, thanks to the you know, all the Sharia schools set up via petrodollars and the Pakistani ISI, the CIA, and they're doing it today. I mean, I just read an article today about how all these ISIS fighters, these Daesh fighters, are flowing into the southern Philippines from Malaysia and Indonesia. Indonesia, not many people realize, has the largest Muslim population in the world. It's an Asian country that happens to be run by Muslims, right? So now they're flooding into southern Philippines and causing problems, and apparently there was a terrorist attack in Manila because the president doesn't want to play ball with the U.S. and the West anymore. He's made a decisive tilt to China and Russia, and suddenly out of nowhere, all this Daesh terrorist activity, ISIS activity, just takes root there and just goes crazy. And it's symptomatic of what's going on in the world. Freeman Fly talked about how 9/11 was meant to make people mistrust their own government, i.e. the U.S. government, but by extension, by using 9/11 as a pretext to destroy yet again Iraq, to, you know, go into war in Afghanistan. And Afghanistan, folks, is the perfect trap. I mean, if you thought, like, South Vietnam, Indochina, rather, that was a perfect trap for U.S. and so-called allied soldiers. It's Afghanistan is even worse in my estimation because the terrain is infinitely worse. You have the tribal areas, and then you have Pakistan, and the Taliban basically run certain cities like Quetta and other places, and the Pakistani army doesn't do anything about it because the Pakistani army was initially ordered, Pakistani intelligence was ordered by the West, by the CIA, to train up and raise the Taliban. And then what they do, the morning of 9/11, they bring the former or a current head of Pakistani ISI to Washington, D.C., and then they read him the Riot Act after, you know, what happens in the morning of 9/11, and then the guy would be saying, well, wait a minute. The Pakistani general would be saying, wait a minute, you told me to train these guys. You funded me. You allocated all this money flowing in from Saudi Arabia to train these guys. And the response? Terrorism, 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 9/11, 9/11, 9/11. You're going to do what we want, bitch, right? It was another classic example of a bait and switch where they had the Pakistani army and intelligence services raise and create all the Taliban, and then they pull a bait and switch where they bring the guy to Washington, D.C. in the morning of 9/11, and then 9/11 happens, and then they read him the Riot Act for supporting terrorism, right? That's how the game is played. I forget whose book it was I was reading, but the eyewitness accounts of this Pakistani general, he just had his head down on the table, you know, and his arms around his head, just abject misery because of what's been done and how he's been played and how his country is being played. And the end result of that is now you have an incessant, never-ending stream of Taliban coming in from Pakistan, the tribal areas, into Afghanistan. They can't be stopped short of an invasion of Pakistan, right? And they weren't going to invade North Vietnam during the Vietnam War. They sure as hell they're not going to invade Pakistan. There's too many Pakistanis, and the Pakistanis have nuclear weapons, so you can forget about that. And now they're talking about bringing more and more troops back into Afghanistan when there was a big pullout around 2013. Now they want to bring them back in because everything is just meant to go to hell now, right? And so we're seeing the spread of this rape culture all over the place. Getting back to the point that Freeman Fly made, you know, by extension, and this is me talking here, not Freeman. I got to get him back on the show one of these days. But by attacking Afghanistan, by incessant drone attacks upon Pakistani civilians in Pakistan, by destroying Libya and destroying Iraq and allowing the ISIS and Daesh to run amok, etc., it's justifiably created a lot of resentment towards the U.S. and also AFRICOM and their incessant activities in below sub-Saharan Africa. Just all this destabilization, black ops, etc., etc. So, yeah, these people are definitely going to be pissed off at the U.S., pissed off at Britain, pissed off at Europeans, and pissed off at whites in general. Well, what's the next step in the plan, the Kalergi plan? Import them all, lock, stock, and barrel, mostly males, if you notice, right? The raping, child-molesting type, and bring them in, and that, it's a proxy army. It's basically bringing in a rape culture to invade all these countries, thoroughly destabilize them. And then they order stand-downs of the police. They order stand-downs of the authorities. There are places in Scandinavia now and France where the police don't even go because they'll just be attacked by all the raping immigrants, right? And this is not a new thing. We saw the same thing post-World War One, the completely unfair, unjustified, what they would call sanctions nowadays against the Germans after World War One, you know, the Versailles Treaty, the so-called Paris Peace Treaty, what an oxymoron that is. But as a result, the French were able to post a lot of African colonial troops in Alsace-Lorraine, places like that, and, you know, where there was a lot of ethnic Germans. And in the interwar years between 1919, 1920, and then, you know, prior to 1939, before the Germans under Hitler had, you know, revoked the terms of the Versailles Treaty, before all that happened, these black French colonial troops were running amok in places where there were ethnic Germans. They were gang-raping German women, they were killing them, etc., etc. So we'd seen this shtick before, right? You know, especially against the Germans. What's happening to them now with all these raping immigrants is not even the first time it's happened to them. Like I just said, the French did it to them way back when, in the 1920s. So it's created all this hostility against America and the West from all this incessant European intervention, colonization, exploitation, etc., etc. Now the bait and switch, the tables have been turned, all these raping immigrants have been turned loose. I alluded earlier to South Africa, what's happened there. If you get a chance, you're not going to likely find these documentaries on YouTube because they just wouldn't last 2 seconds on YouTube. You have to go on to, you have to go buy a Kodi box, right? You can find them on eBay. KODI, I think they're manufactured in China. And then once you get your Kodi box, you look for these add-ons. And if you're into sports, you find add-ons for whether it's baseball, football, hockey, whatever it is, right? And if you're into documentaries, find the add-ons for that. If you're into movies, find the add-ons for that. The corporations hate Kodi. And Kodi is a revolution in itself, folks. Because the corporations hate them, the television networks hate them, because they're undercutting them, and there is this dedicated group of computer experts out there that all they do is they make these add-ons, which can be uploaded into the Kodi box, and pretty soon someone has dozens of new movies, dozens of new documentaries to watch, live streaming sports, right? And you know what? There's a lot of people out there, they're tired of, they won't pay another nickel to these lousy corporations. They're saying, F you, we're going to get our Kodi box, we're going to watch whatever we want, you know, no BBC TV tax here, right? And look it up, KODI, because the point of relevance is not only are the networks, the TV networks, and the telecom giants, Viacom and all the rest, now they're always trying to shut down these Kodi sites, right? But what happens is the Kodi programmers, they just like up and move to another part of the internet and then they set up shop there. So it's like guerrilla warfare as far as streaming TV is concerned. And the point of relevance is you will see documentaries on Kodi, which you will not see on YouTube. Forget about it. You will see what ISIS has really done in places like Iraq, Libya, places like that, Syria. You'll see documentaries and film footage of what people have experienced on the ground. You'll see, for example, documentaries about the savagery of a lot of the, you know, what's going on in the, you know, the occupied territories and all that stuff. Well, you just see stuff you will never see on YouTube because it just wouldn't last 2 seconds, right? So check it out and go look up what's the ISIS has been doing, because they actually have film crews in there amongst ISIS, and you can read like the captions, the subtitles, and they're saying, yes, when we go into our next village, we're going to kill all the men, we're going to rape all the women, and then after we're through with the women and girls, you know, we're going to sell them off as slaves. I mean, they're openly telling you what they're going to do. And remember, folks, these are the same people that are getting airdrops of supplies from the U.S. Air Force. They've got like these black ops mercenary outfits working with them, etc., right? And then they have the gall, the corporate media has the gall to say that Assad is killing his own people in Syria. It's just a complete inversion of the truth. So if for nothing else, right, so you don't have to pay like a monthly TV bill or, you know, whether it's, you know, Rupert Murdoch's outfit, DirecTV in America, etc., go get yourself a Cody box. The European Union is already trying to ban them, okay? but it won't stop it. There's going to be a flourishing black market of the Cody boxes, and then you can watch whatever you want. If you like baseball, if you like sports, if you like, you know, race car driving, whatever you want, it's in there. You just got to find the right add-on. But if you're into documentaries, you will see documentaries in there. And that's probably, if you ask me, besides the fact that they're doing it, they're streaming all this sports, they're streaming all these copyrighted movies without a license, and because basically Big Brother is not getting their cut, and they're whining about it, and they're pissing and moaning about it. Well, too bad for them, right? They've gotten enough of people's money. But just the documentaries alone that you will find on Cody is enough, more than reason enough, to invest in a Cody box, learn how to use it. There's a lot of YouTube videos. You can go on YouTube and you can learn how to operate the Cody box, learn how, where to find the add-ons, how to upload them, etc. You know, I know about this network because, you know, I've got friends out there that have, you know, plugged into the Cody network and they've told me about it. And I've turned around and told other people about it. So definitely look into the Cody. You won't regret it. And like every once in a while, they'll take down a particular channel. Let's just, you know, simplify terms. They'll take down a channel and it'll disappear off the air for a little while, so to speak. Then later on, it'll pop up again, right? So that's how it is, like guerrilla warfare, just like hit and run, move, you know, shift bases, etc. That's what's going on with the Cody. But you got to see some of those videos, especially the videos of the Iraqi army going after ISIS. Man, it's like, you know, when they go into the villages that they've liberated and kicked ISIS out of, the people are just so happy because they've seen their families, they've seen their children, they've seen their young girls and women just raped and abused, taken away and sold as sex slaves by ISIS. And then when the Iraqi army comes to liberate them, it's just the joy, the euphoria. And then what happens is they look for the sympathizers and the traitors and the spies who work for ISIS that are still in the villages. And then they deal with them, right? Some of these people will say, you know, I was watching this one documentary. Yeah, well, you know, ISIS, they told me that if I help them, they'll pay for my education in some university in London somewhere or whatever, right? And so I guess that was a good enough reason for him to betray his whole village. Later on, when Iraqi army and Iraqi special forces came and kicked the ISIS out, then, you know, they dealt with all these turncoats. And then you'll see videos about, like, the Kurds. You know, there are different factions of Kurds, and the Kurds have always been stabbed in the back by the West, and I don't know even why any of them would have any business dealing with the NATO, the West, or anything like that. But some of the video I've seen is of Kurd factions that are kicking out and battling the ISIS, right? And they're intercepting. And you see this on documentaries of, like, say, the Royal Marines or the U.S. Marine Corps in Afghanistan, where, you know, they're not really too keen on ComSec, communication security. So they're on open lines, open wireless channels, talking to each other. And it's being intercepted in real time. And then they have translators that are, you know, interpreting what they're saying over these open radio links and open cell phone links. And you can hear them, you know, some of these ISIS commanders. And some of these ISIS units, the moment the Kurds show up, the moment the Iraqi army shows up, they split. Because there, a lot of them are just cowards. They're just there to just exploit and rape women and kill and torture, you know, males and citizens in general who can't protect themselves. But when they get the intel that the Iraqi army, the Kurds that are fighting against the ISIS show up, it's like, yes, we must leave now, brothers. We must leave now, right? You know, and they're hightailing it out of there, right? And maybe they're ordered to do so. Maybe they're being told that, hey, don't get involved in these stand-up set-piece engagements with the Iraqi army because you're not going to, you know, win, right? And that, you know, NATO and the West and the CIA, they don't want to lose them as operational assets, right? But it's very good to see that there's been some pushback. Apparently, I haven't read the articles yet, but the Iraqis have reclaimed Mosul, kicked the ISIS out. So, you know, we're seeing progress there. Apparently, because the CIA and the other spooks, they shift around, they play, you know, they shuffle the deck the same way the Catholic priest does with their pedo priest. So apparently there's some suggestion that not only are native Asian Muslim fighters streaming into the Philippines from Indonesia and Malaysia, but it's possible that some of the Daesh slash ISIS slash ISIL, whatever the hell you want to call them, are being shifted out of Iraq and other places in the Middle and Near East, and being brought over to Asia, the Philippines, and places like that. So it just shows, once again, the global nature of this Daesh, ISIL, ISIS terrorist organization. It's too well organized to be an organization that just started up on its own and just decided, hey, we'll just go create jihad around the world, right? They're getting funded, they're getting backed, and it's all part of that whole clash of civilizations, the creation of a caliphate, like a modern-day worldwide caliphate. I can't remember what psychic it was, but there was some psychic who said that, you know, come 2030, come 2040, the year 2030, the year 2040, most of the world will be controlled by Muslims, and, you know, there will hardly be, like, any black people left, for the most part, and rather white people left, at least as being a majority in places. And when you consider the depopulation agenda all across the board, the infertility, the sterility, all the chemicals, all the vaccinations in the West, that's radically reduced the fertility of people in general, women in general, but particularly, you know, white women, right? So on the one hand, it's getting harder and harder for white people to reproduce because of all the GMO, the Floridization of the water supplies, vaccinations, etc., etc. And on the other hand, they're bringing in all these raping immigrants, basically, that to, you know, breed out the white people, right? And then I come across this article about this psychic. I forget where she was from or what country she was from, but she talked about how, you know, the world will be controlled by Muslims, but it won't really be controlled by Muslims. The tribalist collectivists will be pulling the strings. I mean, you know, when people talk about the Armenian massacre the Armenians that were massacred, supposedly by the Turks, well, the Armenians were mostly Christians. There's a tip there, right? Wherever you see these Christians being massacred, whether they're, you know, called Serbs or wherever they're, you know, wherever they are, there's a hidden hand at play. The Turks were just doing the bidding of their tribalist collectivist masters. So by 2030, 2040, it may have appeared to this psychic woman that the world will be controlled by Muslims and, you know, Africans and Middle Easterners, but no, it'll be, you know, the tribalist collectivists will be pulling their strings. That's the way the game is played. So, you know, cycling back to the start of this show when I talked about how this poor gal in Sydney, she reached out to the authorities, oh, you know, my family wants me to marry this raping old guy, right, this pedophile old guy, and then the authorities basically washed their hands of the poor little girl, you know, supposedly bumped up the issue to the state and federal government. Well, maybe, maybe not. We know these forced marriages go on all over the place in the Western world because they've imported this rape culture lock, stock, and barrel, and now they're starting up all of these Sharia communities all over the place. But I don't think that we're on the brink just yet. We're starting to see pushback, thank you very much. We're starting to see pushback in the European countries, Scandinavia. We already talked about how Hungary and places like Belarusia, they're not taking any more refugees. Thanks, but no thanks, right? Don't call us, we'll call you, what they're saying. And this is why they're getting all this heat from the EU, right? And probably at some point you'll probably start to see some intrigues and spook activity and subversion going on to, you know, put in some placemen into the Hungarian and Belarusian governments that'll go along with this rape invasion agenda. I mean, anyone with any conscience that's not part of this scam, they know it's national suicide to let all these rapists in. And what we'll do is we'll put some links up of some of these videos showing all these Africans and all these Muslims just running amok in European communities. It's just freaky. It's like a hello fourth dimension, right? Third dimension, it was nice knowing you, but fourth dimension, here we are, right? Because people like David Icke and others have always talked about how the fourth dimension is largely populated by negative, parasitical, predatory entities. But when you take into account the hosting factor, the genetic manipulation factor, and how certain bloodlines have a genetic, indeed spiritual, predisposition to be taken up by all these different entities, right? And then those particular demographic groups are selectively chosen and brought en masse in all this immigration. That's just full-on proxy warfare. And from a higher dimensional perspective, I look at it and I say, yeah, I can see why they're doing that because they're evil sewer scum. What can be done about it? More and more people have got to just educate themselves. It starts with education. And again, the ego is a block to learning. Because the ego will rise up and defend itself when confronted with, provided confronting information that conflicts with the programming and indoctrination and brainwashing, right? I mean, I was pretty brainwashed, folks. Okay, here's something out of my deep, dark skeleton closet. I voted for George the Elder, George Bush, right? I didn't know any better, and I voted for Reagan before him, right? So, because I was caught up in that Republican paradigm. And it took something as drastic as waking up surrounded by aliens to make me wake up, right? I mean, sometimes that's the kind of kick in the ass you need. And some people, a lot of people don't get that kind of kick in the ass. And so they never wake up, right? Because they've got all the walls and all the blinders and all the programming and indoctrination. And things only become an issue when it affects them personally. And one hopes that they don't have to wait till things get so extreme, right? Like, just like a couple of weeks ago, there were all these Sudanese running amok in Melbourne, the city of Melbourne, right? And so, I mean, it's spreading out all over the place, this rape invasion culture. But it starts with education, recognizing it for what it is, taking all necessary precautions and due diligence to protect oneself, one's family. Another thing also is by having all these raping immigrants brought in, it's inevitable that there's going to be hordes of ISIS, ISIL, Daesh, whatever the hell you want to call them, brought in as well. I mean, I had Mary Joyce on the show not too long ago, and she talked about how some of her insider sources talked about ISIS training camps in the U.S. and North Carolina and other places. That wouldn't surprise me, right? When you look at the background leading up to Oklahoma City, you had this white supremacist so-called community that where you had these foreign mercenaries, German military people, advisors, come and train the men and the young boys in military tactics right there in and around Oklahoma City. I forget the name of the community, but it was like they had their own community thing going, and basically it was a protected community. It was protected species, because you would think that the authorities would have sniffed them out and done something about them, right? But no, that wasn't the case. Elohim City, it was called Elohim City. And their main military advisor was just a German foreign military advisor, right? Who was brought over by the Pentagon on a special visa, right? And then after what happened at Oklahoma City, he left the country. And he said, I'm out of here, right? Because he can see which way the wind was blowing, right? And also around Oklahoma City, there were all these Iraqis. Now, on a normal planet, if warfare is prevalent out in the cosmos as it is on this planet, what they did in the wake of the first annihilation of Iraq was, and this could only happen on this planet, right? They brought in, lock, stock, and barrel, all these Iraqi military veterans, intelligence specialists, special operators, black ops specialists. I mean, they just finished flattening their country, right, in the first annihilation of Iraq. And while these people, I mean, they're still steamed and simmering and pissed off about their country and their families being wiped out, then they bring them in, lock, stock, and barrel, and they plant them in communities in and around Oklahoma City, go figure. This is why some of the mysterious woo-woo John Does that were seen with Timothy McVeigh, why they kind of match a description of Iraqis, right? Because they were basically used by black ops, and they were made to be accomplices of the Patsy Fall guy, Timothy McVeigh. And it's one of the reasons why whenever a lot of people tried to investigate this Iraqi connection, they ran into a dead end, because that eventually leads back to the invasion of Iraq, you know, the connection with Bush and all this other stuff. The connection, I think there was a governor or some other politician there who actually wrote a novel months or like a year or so before Oklahoma City, talking about how something like that can happen, right? So that's how it's done. You go and blast all these countries. I mean, when you look, I've talked about this before, but when you look at the demographics of America the last 40, 50 years, and you look at all these different people that were not natives. I'm not talking about the Native Americans, what's left of them. I'm not talking about the Mexicans, right? Because remember, you know, before the U.S. invaded Mexico in 1847, New Mexico, Texas, California, Arizona used to be Mexico, right? And then when the U.S. invaded, and then they had the Mexicans over the barrel, Mexicans were coerce into signing the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, 1848, where they basically ceded over all those states, you know, these places which eventually became the states I just mentioned, right? But when you take the Mexicans, the Native Mexicans, and the Native Americans out of the equation, and you look at a lot of the so-called foreigners in America, you can almost always ascribe conflict in their home countries, U.S. Western inspired, which led to them being refugees, which led to them coming to the U.S., right? You know, like in San Diego back in the day, I was starting to run into a lot of Somalis, right? Especially when, you know, out and about and out in town and talking to people that work with these relief agencies, they're always talking about the Somalis. And how did that come about? Well, those of you remember Mogadishu, Black Hawk Down, all that stuff. No, they weren't there to, you know, help the people that were suffering from famine. That was just the Hollywood excuse. They were there because of Conoco, Atlantic Richfield, and some of these, you know, Phillips Petroleum, all these oil companies were there. That's why, you know, the military was there to protect the oil companies as usual. The U.S. military just happened to wind up getting humiliated in a major, major disaster there, the so-called Black Hawk Down incident. And then you look around and then you see all these other people from all these war-torn countries, right? Cambodia, Vietnam, and all these other countries. It's like, you know, the common denominator is they've all come from places that were destroyed pretty much by the West, by the U.S. in particular, because the U.S., like the British Empire before, was used as the muscle, was used as the thug, as, you know, as the late, great Major General Smedley Butler said, right? He was basically a hired thug for the corporations. What a brave man he was, you know, to talk about this stuff way back in 1919, 1920, 1925. Go read his book, War is a Racket. It's a classic. Anyhow, just wanted to bring up these issues and, you know, give you something to think about. I really encourage you to look into the whole Cody Box phenomenon. It is a revolution. And, you know, buy them while they're still available. I don't think they can ban them because so many of these countries out there, maybe the EU, because they have such a monopoly over there, but a lot of these other countries that are not part of the EU, especially in the Western Hemisphere or in the Asia-Pacific areas, they have so many treaties with the Chinese that were they to do something like ban Cody boxes, which are largely produced in China, I don't think they want to piss off the Chinese to that extent because the Chinese have so much investments in a lot of these countries in the Pacific area and in the Asia area. So, you know, those of you in America and England and other places, while you still can, buy the Cody boxes and, you know, start your own. You know, a lot of people get on people's cases for, you know, watching TV. You know what? You can learn a lot by watching TV. You can learn a lot, right? Mark Twain said it best. It's, you know, reading a bad book is worse than not reading at all. And, you know, there's a difference between someone who watches good TV and someone who watches bad TV, right? I don't watch much TV, but when I do, it's something that I can learn from, I can educate myself with, or it's something that's a pleasant diversion, something that could take me away from the cares of the world. I can kind of lose myself in the, you know, whatever TV drama is playing out in front of me, right? So, you know, if there's a stigma out there about people who watch TV, when it comes to Cody, you know, don't even think about it. It's money well spent. Get yourself a Cody box, and then you'll see what I mean. Once you learn the nuances of how to utilize it, how to operate it, and then there's so many videos on YouTube that'll teach you how to operate it, you'll be fine. Anyhow, you've been listening to Bartley's commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Wherever you may be, dear listeners, whatever you may be doing, have a very pleasant time, and we'll see you next time.